morning. My name is Brother Willie Lana Reed, and I'll have the scripture reading for this morning. The title of today's sermon is called A Living Soul, and the scripture reading will be coming from Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. That is Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have, let us read. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearers and doers of his word.
Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse number 7. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. You may be seated. I want to say good morning to the congregation. But I also want to do a little quick and dirty shameless plug here. If you look at our bulletin sometimes, I don't know how often you look at it, but I tell you, our secretary does a wonderful job with this bulletin. This morning, it's just beautiful. I tell you, I just can't get over this. And more than likely, when you look at this bulletin, it always jives with the lesson. And I can appreciate that. It gives me encouragement, inspiration to go on and do what God has called all of us to do, and that's just to preach the gospel. But this is man, I'm just impressed with this. Our secretary is doing a wonderful job with the bulletin. Amen?
Amen.
I want to talk to you this morning about the soul of man. I want to talk to you about your soul and my soul and all the souls that God has created in this world. And I want to tell you that our soul is in jeopardy. It's in jeopardy. In the beginning, when God created man and everything was being made, everything that God made, the Bible says God made it was good. And he gave us all things that we needed for our life. And those things were also good. And since those things were good, evil came into the picture and polluted our lives and our souls. At that particular point, became jeopardized. I want you to understand what God is saying to us in Matthew 16, 26. I need you to get this. For what is a man profited? We've heard it over and over. For what is a man? For what are you? What profit do you have if you gain the whole world? You got it all and lose your own soul. Not anybody else's soul. Now you've got all of the world, but your soul is in jeopardy. In jeopardy. Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul, for your very life? What will you give for the very life that God has given to you? What are you going to exchange for that? I need you to just let that soak in there for a second. Because we are stewards of our own souls. And those souls are made in the image of God. And just as any steward, we too are responsible for that which is entrusted to us by God. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I know we're all here for God. We're here to praise and worship God, and God is present right here with us, and you can just take him in. Take him in. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. God did that for us. We were dust of the ground. He formed us. And man became a living. I need you to think about that. A living soul. There was no existence at all for man before that. My body, gifted from the dust of the ground. My soul breathing to me this body by the God of heaven and earth are gifts from the self-same God. They're gifts from God. And we are directly involved in this responsibility for our body and soul in this stewardship. Amen. Responsible. Our soul, the inner man, is that invisible part of man, including his heart and his mind. And that soul controls the body and utilizes it as an instrument for either good or evil. The soul controls our will either for good or for evil. But a lot of people do not recognize the fact that they even have a soul. Or they glamorize his body. Makeup, lipstick, suits, shoes, hair color, whatever you want to do. You look after your body, but your soul is in jeopardy this morning. That inner invisible part of man that we use as an instrument of our own will for good or for evil. You see, there's no contrast in this. There's no in between. Either our soul is used for good or we use it for evil. And each of us will give account to God for the use of our body and our soul. We're going to give an account. We're too cavalier with our souls.
That's right.
We're going to give an account. The stewardship of the body and the soul makes every other phase of our lives possible. It dictates to us what we're responsible for or what we would rather be responsible for. And it also dictates to us what we should be responsible for, that we're not being responsible for our souls. Good morning to you. Did you hear me what I'm saying?
That's right, brother. That's right.
We're talking about going to heaven, and the only thing that's going to survive after this body is just brought back to the dust. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Let's not get that twisted.
Come on now.
We're talking about a soul here, male and female. He created them. He didn't create any other kind of soul except a male and female soul.
That's right.
Do with that what you want. Nobody who believes that they feel like they want to change or make a transition, that soul ain't going to heaven.
Come on now.
Male and female, he created them. But that's a different lesson, Brother Kyle. Let's keep on going. God is a spiritual being. God is a spirit. Without body, without flesh and blood, we're talking about the God that we serve who's invisible. John 18, no man has ever seen God at any time except his son, Jesus Christ. He had declared him. I want to show you God this morning, though. God is spiritual. But the spirit of man is created in God's image, and that spirit lives in this fleshly body. Soul and spirit are meshed together in this body that we don't even want to be responsible for. We do what we want to do with our bodies. We abuse it. The body was created from the dust of the ground, and it was created to serve as a home for this living soul.
Amen.
Genesis 2:7. And every soul enters the body, and the world is innocent. Why is that? Because everything that God made is good.
Amen.
It's free from sin. Just like Adam and Eve, God, they were good until the serpent came and beguiled Eve. God alone is the father of spirits. He's the father of heavenly lights. He's the father of gifts. He's the father of life. And he breathed into us. And we became a living soul. Let me take you to 1 Kings, and I want you to look at something for a second here. I need you to get this. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 21 through 22. Widow of Zarephath. When the widow's son died, there was no breath, neshama, left in him. There was no neshama left in him. But Elijah prayed, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul nephesh. Let his nephesh come into him again. The Lord answered this prayer, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. The soul leaves the body in death, and it returns in the resurrection of the body. The soul that God has given to us remains alive, separate and apart from the body. I need you to hear me. It remains alive, separate and apart from your body. James 2:26, the body without the spirit is, where y'all at this morning? I know you know James 2:26. The body without the spirit is dead. It's dead. And at death, the soul lives without the body. It lives on in Sheol, that's the Hebrew term, or it lives in Hades, that's the Greek term, but the soul lives on. David prophesies the resurrection of Christ in these words, Psalm 16:10. His soul was not left in hell or Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. It is clear that the soul is not annihilated at the death of the body, but remains in Sheol or Hades until the body is raised again. We are going to be raised once again after the death of this physical body, and we're going to put on, 1 Corinthians 15, an immortal body.
Amen.
Watch this now. The soul of Jesus did not remain in Sheol, but it returned to his resurrected body. Amen.
Amen.
Separated from on the cross when he put his head in the locks of his shoulders and commanded his spirit back to God and left him. Why? Because the body without the spirit, a lot of people whose souls are in jeopardy, they're sitting here and they're dead this morning right in front of God trying to worship him because you've got your soul in jeopardy. Just like you sitting, you're dead where you sit.
Amen.
What good is it doing you? To examine ourselves, because a lot of us have left our souls behind. We catch up with these things in the world and we become in all this to everybody and all that to everyone. What shall a man give? Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21, the parable of the rich man. Jesus pictured telling this selfish, cruel, and carnal man who was given everything he had to the world and what he thought he had. He was trying to be self-sufficient without God. And God said, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. Don't you know that we are only one breath away from our soul living in eternity?
Amen.
Either with God or away from God, we're one breath away from that. And there are too many people who are just too proud to think that they're living themselves and making their own selves breathe, and they don't even want to acknowledge God. They don't even want to accept his word. He's given them breath and life and all things that we even desire. And yet, we put our souls in the state of danger, and we leave it there, and we bring our bodies across town to do our own bidding. And where is God? Where is God? Also, there's a story of a rich man and Lazarus. And this story confirms the fact that the soul survives death of the body and is ever conscious of the present and existing moment. People ask all the time, what happens when you die? What happens? Come with me, I'm going to show you. Let's go to Luke 16, starting in verse number 19. I'm going to show you what happens when you die. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. Every day, it was about him. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried away by angels into Abraham's bosom. He's dead now. The rich man also died. But look at the stark contrast. And he was buried. You know, sometimes I look at things in the Bible, I just have to laugh sometimes because of the stark reality of them. It's real. And in hell, this rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, now they're dead, but they're talking, right? They're dead. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I'm tormented in hell right now. What's tormented? Is it his body? Where the soul of man never dies. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime, you receive is all good things. Oh, okay. Good things. Let me tell you something. All good things are not blessings from God. You see that right there? Because every good thing he got, he was selfish with it, and he finds himself busting hell wide open.
Come on now.
How much good do you have in you? How much good have you received? Our souls are in jeopardy of busting hell wide open, just like this rich man, because of our selfishness and leaving our souls behind.
Amen.
Gotta get in tune with God. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence, they cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said this to Abraham. Listen to what he said. I'm praying now for you, Abraham. I'm praying. Listen to this prayer, Abraham. I'm praying that you would send Lazarus to my father's house. I got five brethren over there I'm concerned about now. My soul is just suffering. I'm tormented. But I got five brothers that's on the other side who's living. I don't want him to be tormented. Send him up there, would you? That he may testify that I'm just in his torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them. We have God's word. Let's hear God's word, and we won't have to find our souls in torment.
Amen.
How plain is that? And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one went unto him from the dead, they're going to repent. Send somebody from the dead, they're going to repent. Let me tell you something. God has already sent somebody up from the dead already. And men still are not repenting. Jesus Christ was resurrected back in the mortal body. We saw the nail marks and we saw the spear, and we looked in his side, and we saw the scars on his head from being crushed and beaten. And we still don't want to repent because our souls are in jeopardy. He's come back from the dead. What else do we need? Whatever else you might need, you won't get anything else.
Yeah.
This is it. Jesus Christ is the reality. This is it. And he said unto him, verse 31, listen to this one. This is a tough one. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, they're not even going to be persuaded if someone rose from the dead. So all these people that believe in ghosts, you can shut that down.
Come on now. Amen.
Ain't nobody coming from the dead that they might revive your soul. As a matter of fact, your soul ain't in good condition anyway if you believe in ghosts. Because more people believe in ghosts than they believe in God.
Yeah, that's right.
And God is a spirit. Listen, the rich man and Lazarus both died, and they entered the Hadean world. And their souls were conscious. They knew themselves. They knew each other. They knew Abraham. They knew that they were either being comforted or they were just being tormented. Let me Let me tell you something. We're on this side of the living. And you know, and you know, and you, and you, and you, and I know the condition of my soul. And we had better get it in order. It's high time to get it in order. Because we always talk about how much of a Christian we are and how we're going to heaven, but how are you going to get there if you're leaving your soul behind? The soul has its own mind, its own intelligence. The soul has its own rationality. The soul is capable of understanding right and wrong and making a choice based on that understanding. Psalm 19, 7 through 8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The soul is capable of comprehending facts and information. Psalm 139, 14 says that my soul knoweth right well, very well, and also remembering them as to make rational and right choices in the conduct of life. We put our bodies sometimes through hell. Don't do it to your soul. Don't do it. Don't do it. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9. Listen to God. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen and you depart from the heart all the days of thy life. But teach those things to your sons and thy sons' sons. Teach it to them that their souls might be refreshed daily by God. But we out there in this world, we out there with false religion, and we don't know the difference between love and hate anymore. We don't know what modesty is, kindness. Oh, listen, Leviticus 26 and 30, God hates false religion, and sinful man hates God's word, but my soul hates you, he says. Your soul hates my statutes. If your soul hates the statutes of God, then you're just telling God right then, I'm not studying about you. It's all about me. Listen, we ought to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and our mind. Listen to me. We ought to love the Lord with all of our heart. Love him with all of our soul and with all of our mind. We ought to do that. That's what the scripture said. But do we? Do we? Sometimes we find ourselves just so full of grief. And grief and hope, they're functions of the soul as well. Because sometimes the body, listen, it suffers excruciating pain. And we look at the story of Job, it renders in Job 14 that the soul mourns within because of the pain and suffering that this body goes through. It mourns within. Because the soul lives inside. It's the home of the soul, this body. Amen. There are too many people that have become one, that God has put together as husband and wife. They become one, and they believe that what they do won't affect the other one. What you do in this body, it affects your soul. I need you to understand that. You should know that. But we so used to gambling. They got all kind of things at the casino make it easy for you not to gamble. I ain't talking to nobody in here don't go there, so I ain't dealing with that. Listen, we've got to lay hold of the hope that's set before us. Hebrews 6:19, that hope which is Jesus Christ, who's the anchor of our soul. We've got to hold on to that because a soul filled with hope is well anchored against all the trials. It's anchored against the temptations. A soul filled with hope is anchored against the tragedies of this life. Our soul functions in prayer. Our soul functions in worship. Our soul functions in worship to the God of heaven. And it's repentance that leads those that are erring back to God. It's repentance. It's making your soul right with God again that leads us back to God. Deuteronomy 4:29. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, you got to seek him. with every fiber of your being.
Amen.
Hannah in 1 Samuel, her soul, heart, and spirit was active as she grieved and fervently prayed for a child. In Psalm 42, the soul of David deeply longed for and sought God when he was surrounded with his enemies. His soul sought God when he was in danger and filled with temptation. He wrote this psalm. He says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul, what? Longs after you, God. Where art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance, and he is my God. As the deer pants for water, I can see his tongue hanging out, his chest dragging, and he's looking for God because God is going to fulfill his thirst. I can see it.
Amen.
Are there any deer in here this morning panting for God? My soul thirsts for God. We filling ourselves up with a different kind of spirit, quenching our thirst, and our souls are in, it's just in jeopardy. We have souls that love all the time. We have souls that long all the time. We have souls that's discouraged, souls that's cast down. We have hopeful souls. And we have souls that render praise to God. And all of these people that have a soul will be accountable to God. And we've got to give account to God for ourselves, not anybody else. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sins, it shall die. Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he had committed and do that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul. Listen to this last word. He shall save his soul alive. Isn't that incredible? Alive. You're going to save your soul alive. But some of us right now are sitting in here and we dead as doornails in our souls.
Amen.
You see, our souls, it's the seat of our volition. It's the seat of our will, our choices. And so it is that same soul that makes choices that must give account before God for the choices that we make. Paul prayed in view of the coming judgment in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. The you wholly sanctified by God through his word is your whole spirit, soul, and body. Spirit and soul refers to the invisible nature of man and body to the visible that we can see, the visible part of us. Our spirit points to man's eternal, immortal nature, and our soul to the life of that vitality of this nature. It gives us energy, it gives us life. And our body becomes a home to that invisible nature of the soul. It's the home of the soul. And the soul is what's going to bear blame and guilt of sin. But it's also the soul that's going to enjoy the absence of that blame and guilt and become righteous. But what one needs to know today is that the soul can either be punished and tormented or rewarded and comforted. Luke 16. One of the two. In Matthew 10:28, this is what Jesus said. A lot of people are scared of a lot of things, but I don't think they're scared of the right things. And fear not them which kill the body. They got a lot of people walking around with knives and guns. Right? They kill you sometimes when you're shooting their eyes at you or with a word. He said, but don't fear them because they can kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul. Where? Some people don't believe they're going to hell. They ain't scared. I am. I'll tell you that right now. I am. Look, both soul and body will be cast in the eternal torments of hell, which is what it means for us to lose our souls. Some people don't believe you're going to lose your soul because they say, oh, we have grace of God. You know, if we do a sin, the grace of God is going to correct that. Listen, Ephesians 2:8. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith. They leave it out. And that is a gift of God. It's not of yourselves. It comes from God. We're saved by grace through faith. You can lose your soul in hell because you're not following the will of God. You're doing your own thing. And in Hades, you're going to wait the final judgment. The rich man was tormented in his flame, and Lazarus was comforted in God's bosom. But I got some news for you. Just like you can lose your soul, our soul can be saved from sin and punishment before that final judgment day. Because God provided a way of forgiveness for our sins through a perfect sacrifice. The atoning blood of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And the individual soul avails himself of that cleansing blood of the Lamb by obeying the gospel of Christ. Money can't redeem your soul. Never will. But we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Peter said, seeing that you have purified your souls by obeying the truth. We deal too much with the flesh, church. It pops up every time we think about it. And sometimes when we don't. And those fleshly lusts wars against the soul. And Christ protects us and he delivers us. Why? Because he is the chief shepherd and the bishop of our souls. That's what God is for us. I need you to think about your soul every now and then. We think about God. We think about church. We think about heaven. Think about your soul from time to time. Our sins are forgiven only when we submit to the gospel of faith. We repent of every sin, confessing Christ as God's Son, and we submit to baptism. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's receiving remission of sins. That's receiving redemption for our souls. You don't have to lose your life. And those who are saved from their past sins, you can look forward to the final salvation of your souls. When in that last and great day we receive an inheritance incorruptible. We receive an inheritance undefiled and one that fades not away, that's reserved for us in heaven. We're going to receive that because we've taken care of our souls. Listen, first of all, let me tell you what the soul does. There are a couple phases that the soul goes through. First, the soul inhabits this earthly body. James 2:26, the spirit without the body without the spirit is just what is dead. Next, in death, the soul inhabits Hades without that body, a state compared to like a naked person, one without clothes. You become unclothed, and you wait in torment or comfort for the final state in heaven or hell. That's what you're waiting at. That's what happens after death. Finally, our souls will inhabit a resurrected body, and we will suffer the eternal torments of hell or the eternal bliss of heaven in both our bodies and our soul. We're going to have a new body, and our soul is going to inhabit that once again, and we shall be with God. Got to take care of it right now if you want to go to heaven. How we handle the stewardship of our soul today determines ultimately how we handle every other stewardship that God gives us. Every last one. If we're failing in these stewardships, it's because we are failing in our stewardship of the soul. But if we give attention and diligence to the stewardship of our soul, we're going to do the same thing toward everything else that we are responsible for. So the question is, again, how much do you value your soul? How much? Jesus challenges us with these words in Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profiting if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Not mine. Can't lose mine for me. I'm so glad about that. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Will you exchange eternal happiness of your soul for a moment's pleasure or for the sake of your own stubborn will to get what you want? We ought to be willing to make any sacrifice and pay any price to obtain the hope of eternal fellowship with God in heaven. We ought to be able to just say, take me now, God. I'm giving it all to you. Mind, heart, body, and soul. We've got to resolve to be good stewards of the soul because our souls are in jeopardy. And we ought to become good stewards of everything that God has blessed us to receive. He's given us a duty. And that duty is to be good stewards of our souls. I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1 to the Jews of dispersion. This is what Peter had to say. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith. Here we go. The salvation of your souls. That's what we're here for. The end result of our faith. You see, grace is wonderful. God gives us all grace. Well, we save by grace through faith. And the end result of your faith is the salvation of your souls. So those of you who have ears to hear, I want everyone to hear this proclamation, Philippians 2, 10 through 12, that by the name of Jesus Christ, every knee ought to bow and of things in heaven and on things under the earth, and that every tongue ought to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. To a careful proceeding in the way of salvation, that they be as lights to this wicked world. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own soul salvation with what? Some people ain't scared of nothing. But he's talking about reverence to God right here. And if you reverence God, that means you ought to be scared of hell. I am. I'm telling you right now. I don't want to go there. Because I'm going to throw a little Graham in for you. He ain't made it for me. Don't want to go there. This is what he said. God is just so wonderful, isn't he? He's provided everything for us. We go over to Matthew chapter 11. And we know full well that our souls are grieved more than we would even want to imagine. Our souls suffer sometimes under the heavy yoke of sin and guilt all the time. But Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. Jesus Christ will give us rest for our if your soul is in jeopardy, church, Jesus Christ is the answer. He's going to give us rest for our souls. But there are a lot of people whose souls are in jeopardy, and they sit in those chairs, and they will not answer the invitation from God at all. That's right. Because they're dealing with their own souls. They're the chief of their own soul. They gave themselves life and breath. Paul says God gave it to us. Life and breath and being and all that we have, God gave it to us, Acts chapter 17. It has nothing to do with us. Listen, you can't even stop breathing on your own. Your body's going to continue to breathe because it's going to try to stop you from... Hold your breath for a second and see what happens. Right. Your mouth is going to bust wide open for air. That's right. Listen, God gave us life. God breathed his soul into us, into this body. And the least that we can do is be good stewards of those things that God has given us. that we might go to heaven. Our souls, church, are in jeopardy. We need to examine that. Examine ourselves and see where we are. Because too many of us are leaving our souls behind. Amen. We're going to extend an invitation to you right now. I need you to listen to this. We need to always hear God's word. The people here that don't even know that they need to be saved from their sins because we're too caught up in the world's doctrine. Listen to God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. You better believe that. He that believeth on the Son of God has that witness in himself. He that believeth not God had made God to be a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. Isn't that incredible? Got to repent of your sins. Too many of us comparing ourselves to those in the world who just, man, you know, I ought to go to heaven because this guy over here is doing this, and if he's doing that, that's worse than what I'm doing. Jesus addressed the same thing. Amen. In Matthew, he addressed the same thing. He said, listen, he said, y'all come and tell me about them people over in Siloam. He says, I'm going to tell you this, unless you repent, Luke 13, 3 and 5, just like the people in Siloam, you're going to die as well. I tell you, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Stop comparing yourselves to yourselves. Every soul has to give its own account unto God. Amen. Repent of your sins. Let's confess Christ. Let's confess him. Because there are a lot of us who claim to be without sin. And he says, if you do, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you of all your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness, every bit of it. Will you do it? Will you get up out of that chair and accept God's gospel today? Will you accept the salvation of your soul? Listen, you got to be baptized in water for remission of your sins. No, you're not. That so many of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you should walk in the newness of life, because your soul has been restored. Who wants that? Who wants restoration of the soul? Who wants that? Who wants revival of your soul? Who wants that? Who wants life from God? Genesis 2:7, formed man from the dust of the ground, and oh, he breathed life into us, and we are to just say, thank you, God. But it's become all about us, and we've left our souls behind. Too many of us think we're breathing on our own. One day you're going to stop. And who are you going to depend on? You better depend on him now while you're breathing. While there's life in you, while the soul can still be stirred unto righteousness. Answer the call of God. Don't sit there and be stubborn. Don't allow Satan to hold you to your chair. You know you need to be saved. Your soul needs to live after death. And you can change it right now by accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Won't you come? Won't you bring your soul to God as we stand and sing this invitation song?